1 Kings 17. Thank God for God and His Word. Amen. What a good God we serve. What a privilege it is to serve Him. Amen. To have brothers and sisters of like faith to serve Him with. Won't God been good to us? It's a great God. Amen. 1 Kings chapter number 17. Very familiar individual shows up in this chapter. That's known throughout your Bible as a great man of God. A man with sternness and backbone. Amen. Touch of God on his life, and God used him to do great things. And God will use him to do, I believe, great things still in the future. It's a great man here. 1 Kings chapter 17, I'm speaking about Elijah. Great man of God, a great prophet of the Lord. Verse number 1, we'll read the chapter. There's 24 verses, 1 Kings 17. The Bible said in verse number 1, what's the first word there? And Elijah, the Tishbite, who was of the inhabitants of Gilead, said unto Ahab, as the Lord God of Israel liveth, before whom I stand, there shall not be dew nor rain these years, but according to my word. We'll look at it in a little bit more in depth in a moment, but it's amazing that here comes a man out of the middle of nowhere, shows up in your Bible if you begin to read from Genesis 1 to 1 Kings chapter 17. The first time Elijah's mentioned is in this passage. And he takes a great stand right out of the gate against one of the great wicked kings of Israel and lets him know that I'm standing for God and pronounces judgment on his life. The Bible said in verse 2, and the word of the Lord came unto him saying, get thee hence and turn thee eastward and hide thyself by the brook Cherith that is before Jordan. And it shall be that thou shalt drink of the brook. And I have commanded the ravens to feed thee there. And he went and did according unto the word of the Lord. For he went and dwelt by the brook Cherith that is before Jordan. And the ravens brought him bread and flesh in the morning, and bread and flesh in the evening. And he drank of the brook. Now some of you city slickers would have died. Amen. He never drunk out of a brook. Amen. The Bible says in verse 7, and it came to pass, by the way, amen, everybody ain't got to be Elijah. So don't, I'm not trying to throw stones at you. God uses country people and city slickers, amen. People that drink out of the brook, and people that drink out the creek, amen. And people that drink out the zinc, you know. Miss, which where you from, amen. Amen. Some people drink out the zinc, and some people drink out the sink. The Bible said in verse number 8, verse 7, excuse me, and it came to pass after a while that the brook dried up because there had been no rain in the land, just as he came out and said in the beginning. Verse 8 says, and the word of the Lord came unto him saying, arise, get thee to Zarephath, which belongeth to Zidon, and dwell there. Behold, I have commanded a widow woman there to sustain thee. And he arose and went to Zarephath. And when he came to the gate of the city, behold, the widow woman was there gathering of sticks. And he called to her and said, fetch me, I pray thee, a little water in a vessel that I may drink. And as she was going to fetch it, he called to her and said, bring me, I pray thee, a morsel of bread in thine hand. And she said, as the Lord thy God liveth, I have not a cake but a handful of meal in a barrel, and a little oil in a cruse. And behold, I am gathering two sticks, that I may go in and dress it for me and my son, that we may eat it and die. And Elijah said unto her, fear not, go and do as thou hast said, but make me thereof a little cake first, and bring it unto me, after make for thee and for thy son. For thus saith the Lord God of Israel, the barrel of meal shall not waste, neither shall the cruse of oil fail, unto the day that the Lord sendeth rain upon the earth. I'm not preaching on this woman this morning directly, but it's amazing that here's a little widow lady, her and her son alone, about to die as far as they're concerned. They mean, there's been no rain, there's a famine in the land. She's got a handful, she said, of meal in a barrel, in a little cruse of oil. She's going to plant. Her plans were, before Elijah ever showed up, was going to make her a little piece of bread, get a little bit of cruse of water, drink a little bit, and her son die. And the man of God showed up and he says, hey, before you go make a little meal and you and your son die, how about make me something? And I'll guarantee you, God will make sure you got enough and you'll be living. And this woman steps out by faith and trusts what the man of God said by the word of the Lord, of course. And the Bible said, and she went and did, verse 15, according to the saying of Elijah, and she and he and her house did eat many days. And the barrel of meal wasted not, neither did the cruse of oil fail, according to the word of the Lord which he spake by Elijah. And it came to pass after these things, that the son of the woman, the mistress of the house, fell sick. And his sickness was so sore that there was no breath left in him. And she said unto Elijah, What have I to do with thee, O thou man of God? Art thou come unto me to cause my sin to remembrance and to slay my son? You know, by her own testimony, if it wasn't for Elijah showed up, her and her son already be dead. But it's amazing how you get to live in a little while and things come to pass in your life and you begin to blame others. And I'm not trying to beat the woman down, amen. I don't know what I would say if I was in her shape, if I was dying, and the man of God had came down, and my son was dying, and how I might react. And he said unto her, give me thy son, verse 19, and he took him out of her bosom, and carried him up into a loft, where he abode, and laid him upon his own bed. And he cried unto the Lord, and said, O Lord my God, hast thou also brought evil upon the widow, with whom I sojourned by slaying her son? And he stretched himself upon the child three times, and cried unto the Lord, and said, O Lord my God, I pray thee, let this child's soul come into him again. And the Lord heard the voice of Elijah, and the soul of the child came into him again, and he revived. And Elijah took the child and brought him down out of the chamber into the house, and delivered him unto his mother. And Elijah said, see, thy son liveth. And the woman said to Elijah, now by this I know that thou art a man of God, and that the word of the Lord, and the word, excuse me, of the Lord in thy mouth is truth. Let us pray. Brother Ted Mack, how about pray for us this morning? Yes, Lord. Amen. There was a text verse for the message this morning out of these 24 verses. It would be verse 1. The Bible says, and Elijah the Tishbite, who was of the inhabitants of Gilead, said unto Ahab, as the Lord God of Israel liveth, before whom I stand, there shall not be dew nor rain these years, but according to my word. I'll take that verse this morning and preach to you from this thought, Elijah's stand. He said, in whom I stand. As we said when we began to read the passage this morning, in verse number 1 we see that Elijah shows up out of nowhere. Here's a man that's never as known as in the Word of God to exist, but no, we know he had existed. Amen. Because of the fact of the age he was when he showed up. But it's nowhere written in the Word of God anything about his life. I mean, not even a glimpse of his childhood, of his parents, his mother or father, even his own life as serving God. But out of nowhere in chapter 17, the Bible said, "And Elijah the Tishbite, who was of the inhabitants of Gilead, said unto Ahab, As the Lord God of Israel liveth, before whom I stand." Elijah had, had a stand with the Lord. He had had some internal convictions in his own life for how long we do not know. We know according to the book of James, chapter number 5, that Elijah was a man of like passions like we are. He was a man of prayer. He was a man that spent time with the Lord. I don't know if it, maybe it's a little indication about his life where there's no showing up in the world as far as the Word of God recording in his life, that he had spent many years, many days of his life in prayer, allowing the God to prepare his own life as a vessel of honor to show up in such a time as this to do a great work for God. There's a little thought there in itself, amen, that as a young child or as a person trying to find their way in the work of God, hey, the best thing we can do until we know what God wants us to do is spend some time communing with God in prayer. Hey, get with God and the Holy Ghost and pray and open up the Word of God and find out what God would have you do, because one day God may have called you to make a stand for Him, make a splash in this world. Elijah shows up out of nowhere, never mentioned before. He burst on the scene to do a great work for God. Amen. Out of nowhere he showed up. Amen. And we know by the testimony of the Word of God that he accomplished great things for God. Amen. First thing he let Ahab know, that the Lord is alive. Amen. He said, "Elijah the Tishbite, who was in the inhabitants of Gilead, said unto Ahab, As the Lord God of Israel liveth." You know what he wanted Ahab to know? God's alive. Amen. I know it was dark days to the children of Israel, the people of Judah, in that day. Ahab, that wicked king reigning, and all the chaos that was going on in the land. But Elijah showed up out of nowhere and he said, "Hey, it might look like God is dead, but he's well and alive." Amen. Hey, there's nothing wrong with him. He is observing the ways of man and he sees exactly what's going on in his land. Even though the God, the little God of this world, as the brother said this morning in Sunday school, has dominion over this world, there's a God above all things that knows exactly what's going on in this day and time. May I say, he knows exactly what's going on in our day and time. He shows up out of nowhere and he rebukes Ahab for his wickedness. I mean, he said, "As the Lord God liveth, to whom I serve." Amen. Hey, there's not going to be rain. There's not going to be dew on the land. Amen. For 3 years, he pronounces this judgment against Ahab because of the wickedness that was going on in Israel. Hey, you know what? He rebukes Ahab for his wickedness, and he was a man that stood up against wickedness of his day. And we need some people to stand up against wickedness. He rebuked Ahab. You know what he's doing? While he's rebuking Ahab, he is making his own stand for God. He said, the Bible said, "As the Lord liveth, before whom I stand." Hey, Elijah was making a stand in this old world. Hey, man, he stood up out of nowhere and he said, "Enough's enough. I've been silent long enough. Hey, God has prepared me for such a time as this," because we'll see in just a moment that he is moved by the Word of God. He's been directed by the Holy Ghost in his life, and he makes a stand and he says, "And before whom I stand, I'm standing for God." And you know what we need today? We need some people that will make a stand for God. Ezekiel chapter number 22 and verse 30, a very familiar verse on that thought, talks about God looking out and seeking among the land for somebody that would stand in the gap and make up the hedge, amen, and make a difference in our day and time. Hey, God's still looking for people like Elijah to come out of nowhere and stand up and say, "Enough's enough, I'm making a stand for God." Maybe this is your call today from God. God's coming to your way, and you maybe have been in the backside for a little while, if you will, and you've been silent in your walk and your testimony for God, and God's saying, hey, you've been praying and you've been seeking for me, and I want you today to make a stand publicly and say, "Hey, I'm standing for my God." Amen. Hey, maybe on your job, some of you are saved by the good grace of God, but you've been silent, amen, for long enough. And God said, "Hey, ain't it time for you to make a stand? Ain't it time for you to draw a line and say, 'Enough's enough. This is where I stand. My God lives, and I'm His servant, and I'm here to make an impact for Him.'" Amen. Elijah said today was his day. He was making a stand. He was drawing a line. Amen. Hey, there was no doubt that Ahab knew and the world around Elijah knew whose side he was on. Isn't it amazing it's hard to find people who know what side they're on anymore? Are they for God or against Him? Amen. Amen. Hey, we serve a living God. The world needs to know that He's alive. Hey, but the world also needs to know that you're willing to make a stand. Whose side are you on? Elijah shows up out of nowhere. You said it's kind of bold, maybe a little bit brassy, and maybe a little bit conceited. I don't believe so. He was being used by God. It was God's direction on his life. God had given him a word to speak to Ahab. It was just by the direction of God. Hey, people maybe try to throw stones at you and look down their nose at you and think you think you're somebody. No, I'm not nobody. Elijah wasn't somebody, but he knew the God that was. Amen. And he was making a stand for his God. I'm not making a stand for me. Hey, we're not to make a stand for ourselves. We're to make a stand for God and what God would call us to do. Elijah shows up out of nowhere and stands up for God. Hey, you ever made a public declaration to the world that, hey, here I am and here's where I stand and here's the God that I serve? Elijah. You know what Elijah does? Elijah goes down in history as one of the greatest prophets ever. I mean, one of the greatest prophets ever. Out of nowhere, he showed up. I mean, I don't know how old he was. I don't know how much time he had spent in silence. I believe it had something to do with God preparing his life, and God has a way of preparing our lives, and God knows how to pull us all aside for preparation for his work. We see that with other men in the Word of God that God is using, also ladies. That God set them aside, that God was preparing and working on their lives and making them what they needed to be so the day could come that they could make their public stand. I believe it's no different with Elijah here. He had been preparing himself with the Lord. He'd been communing with God in prayer and seeking out God's will. So when the time came and God called, he was ready to stand up for the Lord. Amen. Out of nowhere, he makes a stand. And when you see him at the beginning, you maybe think that much of this guy, a little loud mouth, maybe a little bit conceited. A lot of people might think, and Ahab's probably looking at him, who the world you think you are? Ahab later on, they accuse Elijah as being the one that's troubling Israel. He's troubling. Amen. It's the sin of the world that's troubling this whole world. It wasn't the man of God. But he goes out as one of the greatest prophets ever. Don't you get the thought of this thing before we go any further this morning. Hey, God's looking for people this morning to stand up and say, now it's my time to stand up for my God that's alive and make a splash in this world. And there's no telling how great God could use your life. Out of nowhere, he shows up and becomes one of the greatest prophets ever to live. In Matthew chapter number 17, when Jesus was on the mountain of transfiguration, it was Elijah and it was Moses that was transfigured with him in all his glory. I think God thanks a lot of this old boy. Hey, for him to show up. Hey, when you speak about the Word of God and you speak about the law and the prophets, there's two individuals that you think of directly, and that is the Moses, the law, and Elijah, the prophet. Amen. Hey, there were two great individuals. But we're speaking about one this morning, which is Elijah, that became one of the greatest prophets that ever lived. That one day he started out by taking a stand for God. And there's no telling how great your life could be and how great God could use you if you'd be willing to reach out by faith in the living God and stand up for His cause and let the world know what He can do for their lives. He showed up on the mountain of transfiguration. It is my belief, and I believe it's a biblical doctrine, that in Revelation chapter number 11, that he's one of the two witnesses along with Moses that will prophesy 260 days in the great tribulation period and be slain in the city. And thank God, God will resurrect them. What an awful time that's going to be. But God's going to use this man again. I mean, when you think about John the Baptist and his ruggedness and his willingness to serve the Lord, it is Elias, the Bible speaks of, which is Elijah, interpreted into the New Testament, that he is represented by or resembles and have a lot of like characteristics, amen. Hey, a great man of God that made a splash one day. Now, before we go any further, let me just throw this in there, because you start bragging on man, and it's all God in man, but he did allow the Lord to use him to do great things, and there's no doubt he'll do great things in the future, but that doesn't mean he was not without troubles in his life. You start speaking about the great men of God and the great warriors of the faith, and you look at the Hall of Faith and the great individuals over there in Hebrews chapter number 11, hey, not a one of them was not exempt from troubles in their lives. Amen. What I'm preaching about is Elijah making a stand, and we need some people to make a stand. But let's just clear the air and be real this morning. That doesn't mean troubles will just go away from your life. Amen. Matter of fact, you'll probably have more troubles if you make a stand. Yea, and all that will live godly in Christ Jesus shall suffer persecution. The world will arise. The flesh will arise. The devil, of course, will arise to fight against somebody that would make a stand. But I'm telling you what, if you're going to go down in history to do something great for God, and that ought to be our ambition, to be used of the Lord, hey, to walk with Him and to serve the true and living God, hey, we need some people that will stand up and say, I'll be the one. I'll stand in the gap. Here I am, God. Use me. Amen. Elijah out of nowhere showed up. Well, you know what I know God can do over this congregation today, and maybe those that are watching on the internet, hey, the day could be the day that somebody we think, well, we thought really not much of them, kind of just bounce around in life, you know, it seems like they got no direction, just out of the blue, hey, stand up and say, today, as for me and my house, we're going to serve the Lord. Hey, by God's grace, I'm going to make a stand. I'm going to make a splash. I'm going to impact this world for God's kingdom's sake. God's looking for people like that. Elijah made a stand. Amen. Yes, he had troubles, but he stood. Elijah was also a man, as we said in James 5 and verse 17, a man subject to like passions, like as we are. Yes, there's troubles in this life, but Elijah made a stand. So what is it? What Elijah did that put his life in such a great place for success for God's kingdom? I think as we look in this first chapter, we can get a little few nuggets out of a man that made a stand, and look at three, I believe, characteristics that was in his life that made him and prepared him for great success for God. And that's what we need today, is for people to want to have great success in God's kingdom. Now, I'm not against somebody trying to make it in this whole world. But you know, of course, that our ultimate goal down here is not the American dream. It's not trying to make a fortune and have a lot down here. If you do, and God can bless it, and you can use it for God's kingdom, glory be to God. But ultimately, our goal is to be successful in God's kingdom. Hey, how the world views success is not necessarily how God judges success. And here's a man that I believe that was very successful. He maybe didn't have as much as the world had, but he had a living God that he served. And what did he have in his life that prepared him for great success? Number one, could I say, to Elijah, the Word of God, the Word of the Lord, was precious to him. Well, there was one thing that was precious to this old boy, and it was the Word of the Lord. Do you know, if you're going to have great success in this life as far as God's kingdom is concerned, hey, you're going to have to see that the Word of the Lord is precious in your life. Hey, you show me an individual down through history, you show me an individual through the Word of God, whether it be male or female, whether it be young or old, and no matter what nationality was, you show me somebody that God used, and I'll show you somebody the Word of God was precious to them in their life. Hey, man, you got to get where the Word of God's precious to you. A lot of people look at the book, just another old book. It ain't another old book. It's God's words, amen. And this whole thing will guide your life. What brought success to Elijah's life for the kingdom of God, say, as the Word of God was precious to this boy. Hey, look in chapter 17, verse number 2. The Bible said, and the Word of the Lord came unto him, saying. Look at the Bible says down in verse number 5. So he went and did according unto the Word of the Lord. In verse number 8, the Bible says, and the Word of the Lord came unto him, saying. In verse number 16, the Bible said, and the barrel of meal wasted not, neither did the cruse of oil fail, according to the Word of the Lord which is spake by Elijah. Look in verse 24, he ended it like this, and the woman said to Elijah, now by this I know that thou art a man of God, and that the Word of the Lord in thy mouth is true. You know what's precious to that boy? The Word of God, amen. Hey, how precious is God's Word in your life? Hey, how much do you cherish the words of God? How much time do you spend in them? How much gleaning do you get from God's Word to guide your life? This man made a stand, and he made a stand on what thus saith the Word of God. The Word of God was precious to him. According to verse number 2 that we read, you can go back and look at it again. He listened to the Word of God. You know what's wrong with a lot of people? They just don't listen. They're not listening. They listen to everything else, but they're not listening to God. They listen to the media. They listen to their social networks. But how many people are listening to the Word of God? It was the Word of the Lord that led that boy down there to make a stand against Ahab. It was the Word of the Lord that led him by that brook. This man listened to the Word of the Lord. And I'm telling you, just listen to God's Word. There's no telling what God God can do with your life. Hey, but you're going to listen. The Word of God's got to be precious to you. How much do you love the Word of God? How much do you cherish it? Is it precious to you? You know what the Bible said? Was it over there with when he's God speaking about Samuel over there? When his mother Hannah took him down there and took him down to the temple. The Bible said there was no open visions in that day. And the Word of the Lord was precious. The Word of the Lord was precious. You know, we're not seeing any open visions, but the Word of God ought to be precious. Amen. How is God going to speak to you today? It's going to be through His book. Hey, here was a man that listened to the Word of God. He not only listened to the Word of God, but according to verse number 5, he did it according to what the Word of the Lord said. The Word of the Lord said, go down to that brook. And he said, you know, hey man, he maybe could have doubted that thing. Go down there at a brook and let the ravens and bring me bread and fish in the morning and bread and fish and flesh at night. Not fish, it might have been fish, but the Bible says flesh. And he drank of the brook. Here's a man that's going down there by the brook, and he's going to live by a brook, and he's going to wait for a raven to bring him something to eat. Amen. Hey, the Word of God better be precious to you when you get to that kind of point in your life where you've got to exercise faith in God like that. Hey, but what did he do? He did what God said. He listened to the Word of God, but he did what the Word of God said. Hey, don't just be hearers of the Word, but doers also. Hey, we need some people that the Word of God is so precious that I not only love to hear, but I love to obey it. Amen. Who was it that had John the Baptist's head cut off? You know, he loved to hear John the Baptist preach, but he didn't like to do what he said. And a lot of people love to hear the Word of God, but how many people like to do what it said? It's like some kind of entertainment factor. We love to see the man of God preaching, love to see God's touch on me, have a little fire in his bosom, explaining and breaking down the Word of God. But it's more than just hearing. God wants us to do it, amen. The Word of God was so precious to this boy that he loved to hear it, but he loved to live it, amen. He done what the Word of the Lord said. Hey, what made him so successful? Hey, he listened to the Word of God. He obeyed the Word of God because he believed the Word of God. Hey, you got to believe it, man. You go better do what he did. Hey, to stand by that brook and wait for God to bring a raven to bring him something to eat and go down to that widow woman and look her dead in her God-given eyes that just looked at you and said, I'm going to die. I'm going to make a little bread. Me and my son's going to die. For the man of God to say by the Word of the Lord, hey, go make me something to eat. Go bring me something to drink. And God will take care of you. Hey, what a statement of faith. This boy believed the Word of God. Amen. He was just rambling around thinking, well, I think this might happen. No, he knew what God could do. But we've lost our faith in what the Word of God says. He believed it, amen, and he spoke it. That's why that woman said what she said about him. That woman said to Elijah, now this I know, verse 24, that thou art a man of God, and that the Word of the Lord in thy mouth is true. That woman had seen him speak the Word of God, but when she seen it come to pass, she said, man, I know you're a man of truth. Hey, he was a man that saw the preciousness of the Word of God. How precious is God's Word to you? It'll be shown by how much you listen to it and obey it and believe it, and how much the world sees it manifested in your life. He spoke it. You know the word success. You know it as a Bible believer. Some of you do. That the word success is only found one time in your King James Bible. And it's found in Joshua chapter 1 and verse number 8. Like it, I wrote it down. Maybe could quote it, might mess it up. But I know I could read it right here. But I want you to lay your eyes on. Hold your place in 1 Kings here. Look in Joshua. Let's look at this in the context. The Word of the Lord was precious to Elijah. Amen. If you're going to have good success in your life, Deuteronomy, Joshua. Right before the book of Judges. Joshua is taken over from Moses here. If you will, in a sense, Joshua's kind of making his splash in the world. He's kind of been a right-hand man to a Moses and washing his hands and taking care of the man of God like he ought to, being an obedient man of God. And now Moses is dead and died off, and Joshua's been raised up by the Lord. And the Lord begins to speak to Joshua and give him some encouragement. Amen. The Bible said in Joshua 1, look in verse 5 in the context here. The Bible says, there shall not any man be able to stand before thee. This is the Lord speaking to Joshua, all the days of thy life, as I was with Moses, so I will be with thee. I will not fail thee nor forsake thee. Ain't that a good promise from the Lord? So what did he tell Joshua? He said, be strong and of good courage, verse 6. For unto this people shalt thou divide for an inheritance the land which I swear unto their fathers to give them. Only be thou strong, very courageous, that thou mayest observe to do according to all the law which Moses, my servant, commanded thee. Turn not from it to the right hand nor to the left, that thou mayest prosper whithersoever thou goest. He said, boy, there's one thing you better keep in remembrance, that I'm your God and I will take care of you, but don't you turn away from my words. The Bible said in verse 8, here's the statement that God made. He said, this book of the law shall not depart out of thy mouth, but thou shalt meditate therein day and night. It better be precious to you, boy. He said, that thou mayest observe. You better do what it said, to do according to all that is written therein. For then shalt thou make thy ways prosperous, and then shalt thou have good success. Amen. If you're going to have good success, amen, you've got to believe the Word of God, obey the Word of God. The Word of God better be precious in your life. Here's a man, Elijah, that made a stand, made a splash in the world, and we're known by the characteristics that the Word of God was precious to him. Amen. Just as it was with Joshua, the Word of God was precious to him. Verse 9 says, have I not commanded thee, be strong and of good courage, be not afraid, neither be thou dismayed, for the Lord thy God is with thee whithersoever thou goest. Look back in 1 Kings chapter 17. We're speaking about Elijah. Just as it was with Joshua there. Hey, Elijah knew that the preciousness of the Word of God would change his life and give him the success that he needed. How precious is the Word of the Lord to you? It put him in a place for great success for God's kingdom. You get finding out how precious the Word of God is and fall in love with this book, there's no telling what God could do with your life. His preciousness led to, number two, his faith in God. He not only saw that the Word of the Lord was precious, but he put his faith in what God commanded. It was just not a hearing of the Word, as we said already. He was a doer of it. He put his faith in what God commanded. Yes, he was moved by the Word of the Lord. The Bible says, look at how he describes this. When he goes down to there, that brook, the Bible said in verse 4, and it came to pass that thou shalt drink of the brook. Listen to what God said to him. And I have commanded the ravens to feed thee there. Here's a man that not only saw the preciousness of the Word of God, but he was a man that put his faith in what God commanded. God looked at Elijah and he said, hey, go down into the brook. Go to the brook Cherith that is before Jordan. He said, you go down there. He said, listen to me, boy. He said, I've commanded the ravens to feed thee there. Go down there. You've never seen nothing like that in your life. Matter of fact, he never read nothing like that in the Word of God. Well, the Bible said that he told a man of God to go down there, and he said, when you go down there, you're going to spend time at that brook all by yourself, just me and you, but I'm going to send a little bird, raven, to come by, amen. Raven more likely to eat his food than it was to bring him food, but in this case, when God made a command, he made a change. And he had that raven bring him bread and flesh in the morning, and he came back bread and flesh in the evening, amen. Hey, God supplied his need. Amen. Here's a man that put his faith in what God commanded. Hey, God commanded Elijah, and Elijah stepped out by faith, not knowing where his next step would lead. Hey, God said, go down to the brook. He said, that's where I'm going. Amen. I don't know where my next step might be, but I'm going to walk in the light God's given me, that God gives me more light. Hey, we need people that if they're going to be successful for God and make a stand, they're going to have faith to obey what God commands them to do.
Amen.
Hey, God presses something on your heart through the Word of God, through the drawing of the Holy Ghost, that lines up with this book. And God's drawing you to step out. If you're going to make a success, stand to be successful for the Lord, this book's going to have to be precious, but you're going to have to be willing to obey what it says.
Amen.
Even when it contradicts your logic. I mean, here's a man going down there. That's not logically sound. A raven's going to bring me food? Yes, God's commanded. And if God's commanded, it's going to come to pass. Amen. He put his faith in what God commanded. He done it once again in verse 9. The Bible says in verse 9, arise, get thee to Zarephath, which belongeth to Zidon, and dwell there. Behold, I have commanded a widow woman there to sustain thee. I mean, he said, I've commanded the raven to bring you something to eat, and now the brook's dried up, now I want you to go down here. Now I've got a woman I've commanded to give you something to eat. You know what's amazing? The Bible said that God commanded her. That's what the book says in verse 9. Hey, God commanded that lady. But when he went down there, Elijah had to tell her. God said he commanded her. Why did Elijah need to tell her? Why did this girl have any faith to believe what God had maybe already shown her? Amen. Hey, God was going to use the man of God to give that command to her. Hey, he put his faith in what God commanded. He walked in the light God gave him, not knowing where his next step was. He walked in verses 2 through 6 down to the brook Cherith. And he depended on the ravens to bring him something flesh and bread in the morning, and fresh and bread in the evening. And the brook dried up. There was no more nothing to drink there. They never say them. They didn't keep bringing him something to eat. The brook dried up. He had walked in that light as long as he could walk. And the Bible said in verse 7, and it came to pass after a while that the brook dried up because there had been no rain in the land. And the word of the Lord came to him. Here's a man. You know how many adventurous? You know how many God's people are losing the joy of serving the Lord? The adventure of the ride? To be directed by a holy God that is concerned with my life? Yeah, you ever watch the, you know, maybe you don't watch television. It's not so much junk on television, but yeah, I kind of like watching things that shows how people adventure. I like adventures. I like to think I'm an adventurous person. I like to see what's out and search and see what God's going to do. And somebody they do it in a little worldly sense, and they out there seeking out. You know, something in my flesh. I don't know about yours. It's kind of an adventurous side. I want to see what's out there. You know, I'd like to go and see what God will do here. You know, the Lord allows me to be able to do that in revivals in different places. And we get allowed us to travel and see what God's doing and be a part of something God's doing in a certain place. And you look at it as a great adventure of what the Lord's doing. And there's something about me, and maybe it's in your flesh, it's something adventurous, amen? Like to take a step and see what God will do next. And see how He's going to work there and see how you can make it through this. You know, it shouldn't be on my bucket list. And you start talking like these kids think you're a little crazy, amen. But it was always on my bucket list. I always wanted to hobo a train. The adventure of it, man. Get on there and see where the thing goes. You say, that's kind of loony. Yeah, maybe it is a little loony, amen. But it's something about the adventure factor, you know. Let's just get on there and get off somewhere where it goes and see if we can make it in the spot. Man, you want to go? And you get on a train and hobo somewhere next week and your mama ain't going to kill me, amen. Your grandma ain't gonna have that, son. But it's something about the adventure, the ride, enjoying the journey. You know, God's people need to be adventurous. Here's a man, he goes out there and God said, I've commanded you. And he went down there and the raven brought him something to eat and he's just communing with the Lord and waiting on the bread and flesh. And then the brook dries up and God said, all right, what we've done here, let's go somewhere else. Let's take another step of faith. And he adventures out there with this woman. And he's doing it all by the command of the Lord, may I say. He's not just on a wild head venture and a little fleshly motive. Amen. It's God's command. It's God's direction. There's a lot of people just winging out and kind of going by the flesh. I'm talking about going by what does say of the Word of God. You know, a lot of people think they're Abraham, you know. We're going where we don't know where we're heading, you know. We just kind of trust in the Lord. You better make sure God told you to go. You liable to die down the brook, terrible, and God don't send you down there. They liable nobody to show up with nothing. You wonder where in the world is God, and God said, I'm where you left me, amen. He put his faith in what God commanded him. He walked in the light God gave him until God gave him more light. Hey, great illustration that S.M. Lockridge said. It's about like a vehicle going on a dark road, amen. Hey, the lights that is on that car directs you in the path you're going. And you're not going to have more light till you turn this direction. And when the car turns and swerves this direction, there's light for that avenue on what to ride in. Hey, we need to move in the direction that the light's leading us. And I'm not talking about some mystical light. I'm talking about the Word of God as a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path. It shows me where I'm at. Elijah, amen. He had great success in his life. And he made a stand for God because the Word of God was precious. But he had faith in what God commanded. And he was willing to walk in the light God gave him. You know why people die and go to hell? Because they won't step out in the light of faith to be saved. You know why a lot of God's people don't live a successful life for God's kingdom's sake? Because they're not willing to venture out by faith in the light God's given them. Man, if I go down to the brook Cherith, people will think I'm crazy. Yeah, but God commanded him to go down there. If I go down here and find this widow lady that's about to die and tell her, give me something, she's going to think I'm crazy. Yeah, but God's commanded. Hey, you need to have enough faith in what God's commanded to walk in it, amen, and obey Him and let God show you the adventure and enjoy the ride, amen. Hey, when the brook dried up, when the woman was at the bottom of the barrel, hey, when the sun was dead in verse number 17, Elijah never wavered. Man, isn't it amazing about his faith in God? He never wavered, amen. Hey, when the brook dried up, he waited on God to tell him where to go. When he got down there, the woman said, I'm at the bottom of the barrel, his faith was strong in God. When that boy died, hey, she came up and said, amen, you brought judgment on my life, Elijah. Elijah went to pray and God said, God, what are you doing? He didn't waver on what God said. He had faith in what God commanded. Amen. And I'm telling you, amen, when you seem like the barrel, you're at the bottom of the barrel, and it seems like your brook is dried up that you're living in, and it seems like everything around you is dying, amen. Hey, don't lose your faith in what God commanded you to do. Here's a man that was successful, that made a stand. Yes, the Word of God was precious. Yes, amen, he had faith in what God commanded. And he never lost his confidence in God. Well, don't lose your confidence in God. That's Hebrews 11:6. Amen. He that cometh to God must believe that he is, and that he is a reward of them that diligently seek him. Elijah made a stand. You know what I see lastly about Elijah, which I don't really much see in Christians' lives today, and it's very sad, is that he enjoyed the miracles of God. I mean, if you're going to have great success in your life, I mean, the Word of God better be precious to you. And you better be willing to walk in the light of the commandments that God gives you by faith. But hey, you better learn to enjoy the ride. You know, if God's people are living in misery? It's pretty obvious. I mean, you get down to a brook and it's dried up. And man, that's kind of, you know, this is bad. I got down to see this lady down here, and she's, you know, got a spirit of depression on her, which eventually Elijah had some in his own life. The Bible shows you in, what is it, chapter 20, after he makes a stand against Baal and the prophets, chapter 19, 20, right in there, that he kind of doubted, you know, I'm the only one, nobody else, you know, and all that kind of stuff he made. But this woman over here, he goes down there and she says, hey, I'm going to make a little something to eat and I'm going to die. That's pretty bad, low times. Amen. Then he goes on a little bit later, amen, and the woman's boy actually does die. Sad times in his life. But Elijah, he enjoyed the miracles of God. He enjoyed watching God work a miracle. Hey, there used to be a day and time where Christians, amen, enjoyed to see God work a miracle. That doesn't mean it don't get low sometime and get hard, but boy, it sure is good when God comes through, amen. Amen. And he brings you out of that little pity party we might be having sometimes and get real low, and God shows up because he's just always on time, amen. He's always on time. And Mary and Martha got in a low state over there when Lazarus was dead, but God was right on time, the songwriter said, right? Hey, God's not too late, amen. He knows what he's doing, and he knows how to get us up out of it, amen. Hey, we as God's people need to learn to enjoy the miracles of God. Hey, God's people are living like now. We lost. And we're winners, man. We're more than conquerors, them that loved us. I'm not talking about some prosperity, you know, we're never going to suffer, we're never going to have troubles. Hey, but our God's on the throne, and God's going to take care of us. Enjoy the miracles of God. Yes, there's heartaches. Yes, there's times of war. Yes, there's times when we're down. Hey, but when God lifts us up and shows up, amen, enjoy the ride for God, amen. You know what our young people are thinking? Man, it's a drag to serve. Man, listen to you, preacher. It is not a drag to serve God. I don't care how you feel like and you're watching people that are miserable. It is a joy to serve the Lord. No matter how low it gets and how hard it gets, God's always on time. And He'll show up. Enjoy the miracles of God. Amen. Bask in the goodness of God. Amen. It was exciting to see God work in His life and in the life of others. Is it not exciting to see God work in your life? You say, but preacher, I got... Yeah. But like somebody said, you can't see the forest because of the trees. All we're looking at the trees of trouble. But God's got a forest out there, man. It's adventurous. And that's why you maybe need to back up and get a good glimpse. Maybe you're too close to your troubles and you got your eye on your troubles instead of on the forest. And that tree is just kind of consuming your life, and that's all you ever see. And now the joy has been sucked out of you. Here's a man that was successful, that made a stand. He enjoyed the miracles. And I believe when he was down at the brook chair, man, he enjoyed to see the ravens coming. What? Did you see that? I maybe wish you could have somebody to show. Y'all ain't going to believe it. Maybe some journeyer come down there through the brook chair and come by when it wasn't time to eat. And he's down to tell him, he said, what are you doing here, man? Well, I'm just kind of trusting the Lord. And they think, trust in the Lord. He said, yeah, man, just a little while, about 5 o'clock, a raven's going to bring me something to eat. Stay around, you want to see it. Check this one out, man. Maybe somebody stayed around and watched, you know, and saw it, man. He wanted to share. I'm sure he wanted to share it. I mean, he went down there and it was bad. That lady, you know, she didn't have much to eat. But he said, hey, God's commanded me to come down here. And lady, we've been to see a miracle. Hey, you might be scraping the bottom of the barrel, but that thing ain't going to dry up, man. Hey, God's going to keep it full. God's going to keep oil in the vessel, amen. Hey, God's going to sustain us. And God did it. And he enjoyed the miracles of God, amen. He enjoyed serving the Lord. You know what Nehemiah 8:10 says? For the joy of the Lord is our strength. Yeah, amen. think they've lost their joy in the midst of their stand. Elijah was a man that was great successful. And I believe early on in his life, he had great those three great characteristics that I believe if we would apply to our life, we can be successful in God's kingdom and do a work for Him in the age that we live in. Let me ask you something this morning. Are you following the Lord and putting your faith in a place where you can be of great success for God's kingdom? I mean, who don't want to be? I know if you don't want to be, something's very seriously wrong. Maybe today is the day where you make your splash. Like Elijah out of the middle of nowhere. And everybody looked at you as least likely to succeed. And they thought he or she is never going to be nothing. But with God, you're going to be something great. And Elijah out of nowhere showed up and he made a stand and said, "This is my line. I'm here by the word of the Lord. I'm willing to stand with my God. And I'm going to show you what great things God could do with somebody that will serve Him." Amen. Maybe it's your day to make a splash. There's no telling what God would do with you if you'd let Him. Maybe you're here and you're lost, on your way to a devil's hell. Maybe watching on the internet today and never been born again. Man, if you're going to make a splash for the Lord, you've got to come to repentance and accepting His Son. That's the starting gate. Man, you might come out of nowhere, but God can make something out of you if you put your faith in Him. Man, you remember when you were lost, without hope, without peace, just journeying around this whole world, and God came to you and convicted your soul, and you called on Him to be saved? Sinner, you can do the same today. Today could be your day. Like Elijah, he was making a stand in his walk with the Lord, but maybe you need to make a stand in relationship with the Lord. Maybe you need to step forward and say, "Today is the day I need to be saved. Man, I'm tired of this dragging, sorry life and no peace and no joy." Hey, God can give it to you. And child of God, you can enjoy it. Heads are bowed and eyes are closed. Let today be the place where, like Elijah, you start putting your trust in the Lord. Make a stand.